When the stakes rise and the lights get bright, that's when you find out who can really swim. Deep Waters is a new UFC podcast from CBS Sports. Every Monday, myself, Dean Thomas, alongside with legends of the sport, Chris Weidman, Jorge Masvidal, and Dustin Poirier, bring you inside the octagon like no one else can. Deep Waters, new episodes every Monday. Watch on YouTube or listen on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you get podcasts.
How we got here, you ask? I don't remember. I don't know, but we're here.
JFK getting shot to this.
James is here. At least we're not talking about JFK and shooters on the grassy knoll. As we welcome in James Hamm of the Insiders, our Kings Insider here with us. Hammer, life without Domantas Sabonis begins tonight. Or, maybe better stated, life without Domantas Sabonis continues tonight against Cleveland. How much, like, we know he's out for the rest of this homestand, at minimum, he's out for the rest of this homestand. How much did the games last week with Jonas Valanciunas in that starting lineup prepare Sacramento for what's ahead here in the next 2 weeks or so?
I mean, like, look, you've been going on, like, 2 weeks without him, right? So he'd only just got back on the court. And, you know, I think this team, they understand how to play with Jonas. And, you know, I think Jonas is ready to play big minutes. I also think Trey Lyles is, you know, again, getting an opportunity to show his worth. And so I think we'll see a combination of those two players. Again, I don't think any one player can solve the mystery of what you do when Domantas Sabonis steps off the court in Sacramento. You just can't. Like, he impacts not just, like, the ball movement itself, but he impacts the way that Malik Monk plays. He impacts, you know, his screens are what frees Keegan Murray half the time, or Zach LaVine. Like, he's just a very unique player. And the fact that he, you know, again, leads the NBA in rebounding, you know, it's just tough to replace one guy like this who means so much to your team. And the Kings haven't been able to figure it out in the past. At least they have a really, really solid veteran backup who would be a starter on maybe half the teams in the NBA.
Was the diagnosis of 10 days, was that about what you thought, a little better, a little worse?
Well, he's going to be re-examined in 10 days. And by my math, that means that he'll be re-examined the day that they play the Blazers. There is an outside shot that he recovers and he's able to come back. What it sounds like to me is a grade 2. They're calling it a moderate ankle sprain. Again, there's a we've seen a mild ankle sprain from them and now a moderate ankle sprain, which I'm guessing is like a grade 2 ankle sprain. So he didn't completely snap the ligament in half, which is a grade 3, but he did damage. You know, he stretched the thing out pretty bad and maybe there's some fraying and stuff of the ligament. It's really going to depend on how quickly he recovers. And, you know, again, he's a big man. You know, that's a lot of weight coming down on that foot, but he's also more of a ground-based player. And he's got a lot of incentive to come back and play. You know, we talk about the 65 game minimum. Mm-hmm. You know, on paper, Domantas Sabonis is at 58 games, but in reality, he's not. He's at 56 per the rules. Mm-hmm. He's got two games where he played less than 15 minutes, both because of injury. One where he played a little over a minute, and one where he played 12 minutes. Those two games don't count towards his 65 games. So that drops him to 56 games on the season. So he needs to play 9 more games. Kings have 15. We're talking about a 6-game stretch here where he might not play. So it will come down to whether he can suit up and play those final 9 games or not. And that's tough. And he's got to play. He's got to at least play 15 minutes in those games. Now, look, he might not make all NBA either way. Like, we never know. But the fact that he could miss it by a game or two is really going to come back and like it'll frustrate him for sure. And he has a $1.3 million bonus attached to that all NBA status. So, you know, there's a lot of things going on there. A grade 2, I'm guessing it's a grade 2. It's usually, you know, 1 to 2 weeks you can get a player back. Not always, you know, it just really does depend on how quickly they respond. A grade 3 is much worse. That's, you remember the De'Aaron Fox grade 3 sprain. He missed 21 games and came back in 7 weeks. And that was like he blew away any possible like chart on how quickly he would be back. It's usually 10 to 12 and usually closer to 12 weeks. But this is one where, you know, it's possible. It's possible he'll come back. He's got a lot of motivation. He's got money riding on coming back and playing. We're just going to have to wait and see how he responds.
Can I ask a quick question? Eddie kind of played himself out of the All-NBA discussion.
Well, I think James just kind of alluded to that. Maybe.
I thought he was deserving. I don't want to say a lot because who knows how they would have voted. But I thought he was deserving in the first 2.5-3 months of the year.
Yeah.
I think his play has slipped a little bit in the last month and a half. And with such a tightrope he has to walk in particular to make an All-NBA, I don't know if he has gone above and beyond consistently this year to get that nod from those voters.
Yeah, I kind of disagree. His month of February was a little off, right? He averaged 16 points and 14 rebounds, 5 assists. But I think everybody understands that they made a franchise-altering trade and really mixed things up. The other point I would make is there's like 8 All-NBA players who are ineligible right now for All-NBA this season. So, you know, whether it's Luka or Kawhi or Joel Embiid, Paul George, you know, like the list is long of players who are just flat out not eligible for All-NBA because they're not going to meet the 65-game threshold. So I think that there is a good chance he would still be a solid third-team All-NBA player. Mm. It's not done by positions anymore. But if you look at, you know, sort of the way the league votes for these things, a lot of it is advanced statistics. And Domas is still like in the top 7 in win shares. This is a really, really good player who, you know, again, has been available for most of the season where a lot of players haven't. The weird thing is, too, if he can't play at all this season, he actually could like be All-NBA because the rule is that you got to hit the 65-game threshold. But if you have a season-ending injury, and at that point in the season, you'd already played 85% of your team's games, then you are technically available for All-NBA. So kind of a weird, you know, statistical thing that pops up or weird rule that shows up that he could actually make All-NBA by not playing again this season.
Fascinating. I'll tell you something that Domas will seek clarity this offseason. That really rubbed me the wrong way.
Lives in your brain right now.
I'm like waiting. I'm like, I hate that. I love Domas, but now I feel like I'm on edge and I'm waiting for the offseason to get here. And it's like that. I wish you would say something. Like, I really do wish you would. I hate that, James. It's bothering me.
Yeah, I mean, I get it though. Like you sign up somewhere with the intention of winning games and being good and adding to the roster, and then they just put it in neutral for a year and a half. And he's not the first player, and he won't be the last to say, "Hey, what is the plan? Like, do you want to just forget about your prime and not be in the playoffs and not have?" And I get Kenny's going to say, "Well, you got to play better." It's like, I get that, but I mean, you got a guy who's averaging almost 20 points per game, who's averaging 6 assists, and he's leading the league in rebounding every year. Like, there's not a lot of ways in which he could play better. You want him to shoot the 3 better? Okay. He's shooting 44% or whatever it is from 3. Like, there isn't a lot of things that you can say about Domantas Sabonis. And for me, you know, he's been a good teammate. He's been a workhorse. He's been a guy who, up until this point, you know, over the last couple of years, barely misses any games at all, mm-hmm. plays through injury more often than not, and who is like an all-star level, top 15, top 20 player in the NBA, you know, player. And so if I was 29 years old and a team just continued to fire coaches and continued to show me that they didn't know what direction they were going in, there would come a point where you would say, okay, look, you know, it's probably time. And he doesn't have to wait until, you know, like Father Time has already caught up to him like Damian Lillard did. Like, that's not fair to make a player wait. If a franchise doesn't want to push forward and doesn't want to build a team that gives you an opportunity to compete, then, you know, what are you doing there? And so I think we're going to have to wait and see. There's so many things that have to happen between now and, you know, even July 1st, you know, when the NBA season starts over. But we need to know who's going to be making the decisions for this team. We need to know who's going to be the head coach. We need to know, again, like, who are the decision makers above the decision makers. All of that stuff needs to be sorted out. And if I were a player on a team like this, I would want clarity as well. And, you know, I side with the player on this one. And maybe that's because I've covered this team for too long.
Do you want to say it or do you want me to say it?
You can say it.
Some will believe part of the reason the coach isn't here is because of you. Not you, James Hamm, but you, Domas Sabonis. And we, for lack of a better, listened to you, took your side in this situation. And now you don't get to use that as a reason. Now, you can use some other stuff, but you don't get to use that one as a reason as to why you need clarity. Because we were listening to you, allegedly.
Like, in all honesty, that's probably true. That, like, I mean, we do know that, you know, Domas had conversations with the front office as well. But his guy is now the head coach. Like, the guy that's trained him the last 2 years, the guy who doesn't nearly have as many practices, is his head coach. That's not what I'm talking about. Like, the head coaching job, yeah, I mean, that's one aspect of this. But you need to know if the GM and assistant GM are going to be there. You need to know who's actually making all of the decisions above them. And on top of that, you need to know, do they have a plan to improve this roster? Or are you just stuck as a player on a team that's going to be fighting to get in the play-in tournament, maybe a back end of the playoff type team? And as of right now, that's who they are. You know, maybe if they get lucky, they're back into the playoffs. But realistically, this is a play-in team, and they have been for 2 years.
The one thing I'll say about that, though, is, and maybe I just don't understand it, but the front office was in place when you just signed this contract less than a year ago. Like, all this was in place less than a year ago, and you had no problem marching over to that table and signing the contract. And now, less than a year later, I don't even know if I want to be here. Why'd you sign the contract? Like, and you can't just always leave when you just can't just leave all the time after something don't work out for a few months and say, I don't know if I want to be here anymore.
All right, Pat Riley.
That's true.
We're 18 months into this, man. We're 18 months.
You didn't have to sign the contract.
Yeah. No, I mean, I get you. I get you. He didn't have to sign the contract, but you know what? He earned the contract. And, you know, you thought that they were building something, and then they can win a completely different direction. And they allowed chaos to creep in. Like, I get it. And someone asked, you know, why do you have to bring it up right now then? Like, first and foremost, Domantas Sabonis has not said a word to anybody, like, on the record about this at all.
This is true.
But that doesn't mean that his agent hasn't said, hey, Domas might have the same exact questions this summer. Like, I don't know who gave Sam Amick that line, but that's not Domas going out and saying, hey, look, like, what are we doing here? But it was Domas this summer saying, yeah, good thing we got DeMar because we had two other deals fall through already. Mm-hmm. You know, like, there comes a point where.
That was funny. Like, I was like, hey, all right, yeah. Domas.
But you make promises to a group of players about building something, and you're not able to come through on those promises, then it's okay for players to be frustrated with the direction, with whatever. You know, whether it's the coach, whether it's the players you bring in, or anything else.
Hammer, the Kings playing a finals team tonight?
Yeah, probably. If not a finals team, Eastern Conference finals. Like, this team is absolutely crazy good.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the Kings have played them all right the last couple of years, but My goodness, man. This team is, you know, they've lost two in a row, and what are they, 56 and 12?
That's it.
Something like that. Yeah. I mean, they still have an outside shot. And the only reason I say this is because they've won 15 twice and 12. Well, they've had two 15 plus game win streaks and a 12 game plus win streak. They got 14 games left on their schedule, and most of those games are not that difficult. They could easily go 14-0 and you know, push for 70 wins. Either way, like, I'd be surprised if they didn't win 67, 68. Like, this team leads the league in three-point field goal percentage and two-point field goal percentage. Hmm. And somehow, through mathematical magic, they don't lead the NBA in field goal percentage overall. But still, number one in three-point, number one in field goal and two-point field goal percentage. Like, this is a really, really efficient, long, athletic team. They know who they are, and Kenny Atkinson has them playing the right way.
Yeah, man, they're super impressive, man. And I felt they were going to be a good team. I didn't think they were going to be this good. I didn't think they were going to be the number one seed and a true championship contender. And, you know, you got a guy like Donovan Mitchell. You know, he's in town. We haven't talked about him too much today.
Yeah.
But he's been great this year. He's been great the last 2 years. And he's leading that team. You know, Evan Mobley, Jared Allen, Garland, when he plays, they all take their lead from Donovan Mitchell. They know he's the guy. And being the guy, we joked about it a little bit, but losing two in a row, I'm sure he's going to come in here tonight like, man, we can't lose three in a row. Like, yeah, you said, hyper-focus.
Yeah, I mean, this is a team that just doesn't lose, just doesn't go on prolonged losing streaks. They're very, very good, and they're very prepared to play. Now, they did play last night, and they are on, you know, I think the second game of a long road trip. Like, maybe you catch them at a tough moment, but the Kings are in a tough moment as well. Like, losing Domantas Sabonis is catastrophic in most situations for this team, and they've learned to play without him, but they've also, you know, gone on losing streaks without him. And so this is going to be a difficult matchup, whether Sabonis was playing or not, and it just makes it that much more difficult without him.
Are the Cavs a bad matchup for Sacramento with guys like Mobley, Jared Allen, DeAndre Hunter? Is this one of those ones where it's like, ah, it's going to be tough for the Kings to match up against them? And now being without Domas, you know, perhaps making it a little bit more difficult.
Yeah. I don't know how you match up against this team. The Kings aren't built to match up against this team. But then again, like, look, I think we could probably say the same thing about Memphis. You know, again, Jaren Jackson Jr., long shot blocker. You know, they didn't have Santi Aldama, which usually helps them. But even like Brandon Clark, the Kings don't really have a matchup for Brandon Clark. They showed they didn't even really have a matchup for Desmond Bain, who's just like pocket Hercules out there running around destroying everybody. Like, just absolutely spectacular. This is, again, one of the most athletic and mobile teams that you're going to run into. That doesn't mean, though, that Valanciunas isn't just going to go into the post and beat up on them, because that's what we kind of saw last night, right? With the Clippers, you saw Zubats, you know, just destroy this team. So there's always a possibility that the Kings are a bad matchup for them. And I think we have seen that in the past, but this is a different Kings team. And you need to see how players like Zach LaVine come out, because he's either played spectacular or non-existent against this team this season when he played for the Bulls. One night he scored 26, the other night he scored 8. Mm. So you don't know who's going to show up outside of, you know, a whole fleet of guys who can shoot three-point shots for Cleveland.
And number one in the league, number two in the league in points per game, number one in three-point field goal percentage, going up against the Kings team that historically can't defend the three. I think maybe that's what you're alluding to, or what I think of when you say a bad matchup, because the Cavs are probably going to get a lot of good looks tonight. And a team that can shoot the three ball the way they can, you give them good looks, it can get ugly quick. So they got to be on it, man. I do think the Kings are going to be ready to play tonight and going to be ready to compete with this Cavs team. I think they, getting back home, Doug Christie talking to these guys, Malik Monk having a good game. They understand what's in front of them, and I think they're ready to compete. That's what I think about this team. They will compete.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, you hope that you get the team that came out, earlier in the week. You know, if you get that team, the team that played the Clippers, the team that even played Denver, when this team plays hard and they play together and they share the ball and everybody contributes like what we saw on Monday, they've got a chance to beat anybody. So again, this is a really, really good Cavs team. I'm not putting them on the list of teams that I don't think the Kings can beat at all. Like OKC and Boston are, sort of on that plateau by themselves. They're up above everybody else. I think Cleveland's on their way there, and they might have a really, really good like 4 or 5 year run here in them. But they're in the first year of being like the best team in basketball. And that's not usually like, it doesn't usually translate all that well. Once you get to the playoffs, maybe first round, second round, you're okay. But you get to the third round and the experience of the other teams usually catches up to you.
Other than a sigh of relief, did that 132-122 win against Memphis do anything for you?
Yeah, I mean, I thought that was a good win.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, like, anytime you get a win where, the four guys who are coming off the bench all just had, like, dramatic, impactful moments. I thought Jake LaRavia was incredible with his 12 points and 2 steals. I thought Devin Carter was spectacular. He had 4 steals. Trey Lyles came in off the bench, had 9 rebounds. Jonas Valanciunas, just stepped right in and took over. Like, that's how this team has to win. They have to win with everybody supporting everybody and feeding everybody and the next man up mentality. And they just haven't done it all that often. For whatever reason, that team came out with a bunch of fire. And even Malik mentioned it like in postgame. He was surprised just how much energy they had coming into the game. Mm-hmm. And it was like, oh, okay. I thought we would be pumped up, but I didn't know we would be pumped up like this. And, you got to the end of that first quarter, and next thing you got a 10-point lead, and they just didn't let off the gas the rest of the game. Really impressive win.
James, I mentioned something the other day after that game. I want to know what you think about it. I think Malik Monk is the straw that stirs the drink with this team. I think he's the key. His play is the key. Very rarely, and you have maybe a better memory of this than I do, but very rarely do you see Malik Monk play really well and the Kings lose. And very rarely do you see him play poorly and they find a way to win. They seem to go...
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show, How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radnor, along with series co-creator and my friend, Craig Thomas.
Follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
With how he's performing on a night-to-night basis. Now, he's kind of an up-and-down player. He's kind of erratic, and maybe that explains why the Kings' record is what it is, because they lean so heavily on a guy like Malik Monk. But you think that's accurate? Like, it really comes down to how he's playing on a night-to-night basis?
Yeah, I think it is. I thought it was more that way when he was coming off the bench, right? Like, I mean, we can track how many times the Kings have he scored over 20 and the Kings have won and all that stuff. And to be honest, it's probably more even than I thought it was, just looking at it without like sitting here and counting. Mm-hmm. But for me, like, if you're going to be a starter, if Malik is going to be a starter, he has to find a way to bring the energy to impact the game in a different way. Because like coming off the bench, it's easy to be somebody who stands out as somebody who's just playing at a different speed than everybody else. But when you're in the starting group, it just doesn't, like, he doesn't stand out the same way. So I think when he was your sixth man, I did always feel that way, that he is the guy. You're going to go as far as Fox takes you, but Monk is going to be the barometer for whether you're going to win from one night to the next. Right. Mm-hmm. And I just don't know that I feel that same way with him coming off the bench, with him as a starter versus coming off the bench. It really is difficult to just not be one of 5 starters. When you're a 6th man, you have an unlimited opportunity to just jump off the page. which is what he did for 2+ years, Sacramento. So, yeah, maybe my thought on him is a little different, but not that much. I still think he's like a very, very impactful player for this team.
We'll come back. We got the Kings and the Cavs tonight. We've got more with our Kings insider, James Hamm, with Dylan and Casey return here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. I forgot, James is a JFK guy, so yeah, we warm it up,
James. Your thought on JFK getting his brains blown out?
Oh, Jesus!
Yikes!
We started with the I don't believe that the limo driver did it. We got texts that a Secret Service agent actually accidentally shot him. Kenny doesn't buy the grassy knoll, so we're in a bit of a...
And I'm the least qualified, I will say
we're,
that.
We're in a bit of a mess.
I feel like the shots came from higher than where the grassy knoll is.
Okay, so I went to shoot around one time in Dallas.
Poor choice of words, James. Just a terrible choice of words.
So did JFK.
That's right, I did. I got out of shoot around in Dallas, and I'm like, you know what? I think I'm going to walk back to my hotel. And then, you know, I was standing there. I'm like, there's this whole row of electric scooters. I'm like, you know what? No, I'm going to jump on an electric scooter. So I went flying down the hill. And then I see like Book Depository on the right. And I ended up taking an electric scooter to the grassy knoll and stood in the middle of the street. It's a weird, like, it's much smaller than it looks like in all the film and all the, like the way, if you watch JFK, like the building, it literally looks like one of like the standard crappy buildings that you don't know what's going on in downtown Sacramento, like a 4-story building that just like is nondescript. Everything about it was nondescript, but I did do that on a road trip. When I was covering the team, and it was a good time. At least it was intriguing.
I had a similar experience the first time I was in Dallas. Like, it wasn't a plan, but I guess that doesn't really matter right now. Jason Anderson just said Zach LaVine is out for tonight's game. Zach LaVine has been ruled out for tonight's game against the Cleveland Cavaliers due to personal reasons. Jake LaRavia is questionable due to illness. Again, that is from Jason Anderson. The injury report just came out. I assume maybe that's on there. But Zach LaVine has been ruled out for tonight's game against the Cleveland Cavaliers.
I just had looked, and there was not an updated injury report. But now, sure enough, there it is. Jake LaRavia questionable due to illness. Zach LaVine out personal reasons. Yeah, that's not great.
Damn. Yeah, that's tough. We know that Darius Garland is out for the Cleveland Cavaliers. He's out due to rest. I guess that's what the injury report says.
Yep.
Well, that's tough. Mm-hmm. But for all the Keon Ellis truthers, I got great news for you.
I got great news for you.
Well,
y'all told me this is the movie. But
well, that's not fair. That's
I
not
wish
fair
you tell the whole story.
Because Zach LaVine's not available. But you Keon truthers will be excited.
Damn, Zach LaVine on the graphics.
Oh man,
come see Zach LaVine tonight.
It's tough being a graphic designer over here at ESPN 1320.
Did you have Domas on there at one point? He was out too, I think.
Well, it was the game. He came back.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
I was. Yeah, it was just going on hoping a prayer.
All right. JA, it's not reported. Doug, we'll talk here in a little bit, but that was a complete assumption on my part. I assume Keon Ellis is going to start alongside Malik Monk, DeMar DeRozan, Jonas Valanciunas, and Keegan Murray. He won't tell you an hour before tip-off or 2 hours before tip-off?
Oh. No, he won't tell us. No, okay. He makes us wait. Yep.
Well, I'm not grimy tonight.
I'm not going to tell Doug he's wrong. So, Doug, do whatever you want. You. First of all, I hope everything's all right.
Yeah,
it says personal reasons. I hope everything's okay with Zach LaVine and those closest to him. But yeah, Sacramento, they've gonna have to find a way.
Yeah,
gonna have to find a way.
And whatever the game calls for. You know what I mean? That's what all these games are at this point in the season. if you got to put up a bunch of points, if you got to find a way to get to the foul line or do whatever, you got to do it. If you got to lock up and play defense and be more focused on taking a three-pointer away and getting into a slugfest, you're going to have to do that. But you already have to do that with where you are in the season. But now with people out, it's just survive in advance, literally one quarter at a time.
And the sad part is you don't really advance. You just survive.
You just survive.
Well, I mean, I think this team has shown that they, like, there are times when they almost pull together more when they're shorthanded. So I'm intrigued to see what they look like with Keon Ellis, because I think he's a good matchup with Donovan Mitchell. And, you know, he's a hustle guy, and I think he can really impact the game defensively. But again, the Jake LaRavia one is tough as well. LaRavia is, you know, like, his length and athleticism is something the Kings just don't have extra of. And you're going up against a team where, again, if you saw what LaRavia did to Jaren Jackson Jr. in the last game, where he pestered him the whole time, he got him in foul trouble. I think you could have seen some minutes against Mobley tonight with LaRavia and maybe some impactful minutes.
Probably going to see, man, you might get a healthy dose of Devin Carter or might dust off Markelle Fultz.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Jay
Crowder. Could you imagine if we see Jay Crowder?
Last time we saw Jay Crowder, he was trying to fight.
Well, I don't know if he was. That's what Kevin Durant insisted, is that he's in fact wasn't trying to fight.
Might get some Terry Taylor minutes.
Terry Taylor.
Red Rooster. There we go.
Yeah.
Yeah, there we go.
I don't know, man. I just, all right, whatever. Whatever. You gonna have to, you gonna have to find a way to gut one out. Because I don't know the status of Zach LaVine. The Kings play tomorrow. We know Domas isn't playing tomorrow. And Jake LaRavia too. If Jake LaRavia is ill, they play tomorrow.
Yeah.
So I mean, there is a ton of Kings basketball in the days ahead. So hopefully, these two situations, of course, Jake LaRavia isn't ruled out. He's questionable. Hopefully these are two situations that aren't too serious. But James, we got to let you go. You've got to start that drive to the Golden One Center, and you don't have your traditional quarter zip on with the collar.
Oh, this is how I'm rolling tonight.
There's no way that's how you're going to the game. I don't believe
that's
you.
That's fully how I'm rolling to the game. If I
really?
See you there.
Lay okay. Back, yeah. James.
Wow. Yeah. Casual James. I like it. I like it.
That's
well,
right.
Good stuff. Drive safe, man. We'll see you in the morning.
See you guys.
Take care,
James.
Hi, Chatty House.
Of the insiders right there.
James is one of us now.
Yeah, man.
He is.
Yeah. We're going to get him a chair in the press box
Look
next.
Look at him. Yeah. I tried to, you know, James got that long drive. I tried to let him go a little bit. I was like, James got to change clothes.
Yeah.
James, there's no way James has worn a hoodie to a basketball game. And
it's probably the first time ever.
I don't think I would absolutely sign on for that.
James, first time ever. Hoodie? I'm good. I'm not going nowhere. Not changing anything.
Kings win. We're going to call it the Hoodie Ham Game.
They made this for me. I know punk-ass D'Lo and KC who had to go create a website. They made this for me. Now we just get him in some joggers and some Jordans. We've changed him.
He could even wear the you know, the dad shoes, the cross trainers. That's what's hot. Get him some Vomeros.
Okay.
Get James some Vomeros, you know, because it's back. You know, I mean, it'll be all right. Real quick, little housekeeping. Number one, Beam Money is going down tonight.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Prize Picks. The lineup isn't set yet. I'm going to have the lineup. It's going to be on the socials. We're going to get it popping. We're going to win this money tonight. I'm going to tell you that right now. Beam Money over at Prize Picks. Just put in that promo code KIFM with your first $5 lineup, and you get $50. All you need is promo code KIFM. You don't have to win, nothing like that. Just put that promo code in there, KIFM. You get $50 with your first $5 lineup. You must be present in certain states. Go to prizepicks.com for more details. Prize Picks. Run your game. You know the vibes.
I hate that Zabo buys. I hate that he participates in this.
That's my boy, man. Put it on a shirt. Dr. David.
It's not Dr. David. It's Dave Garcia. God,
try it again,
man.
I don't know why I always say David Jackson, and it's because it's not.
It's the other day. That's our other guy in Tracy.
The other thing is, D'Lo, get your brackets ready. The D-Lo and KC bracket challenge is up. I got the link on my Twitter, at KingKC_916.
I'm guessing if you were in the bracket before, you got the email, because I got the email earlier.
Yeah, you got the email, so you guys need to go out and fill out your bracket. Yeah, get ready to lose to your boy. And when I mean your boy, I'm talking about me. I'm winning it this year. I'm ruddy. I've been watching. I know college basketball inside and out, and I'm definitely going to win this one. We also have a women's bracket challenge that is up as well, so we can get in there. You guys know who I got winning that one.
Yes,
who,
we
Kenny,
do.
Who?
Say we it. Do. Go ahead, say
yeah,
it.
I got Duke. What
no,
are you talking
you don't.
About?
You're lying. Show it. Show it to the class.
I haven't filled out the bracket
Show
yet,
it
but
to
I'm
the
going
class.
With Duke, man. If they can get past, if they get past my girls in South Carolina, they're going all the way.
So, no. Who are you picking in your bracket in that game?
I just told you, if they get past my girls in South Carolina, they're going all the way.
You keep saying that.
You're
if.
Not answering
yeah,
his
you
question.
Keep saying if.
If
I haven't
Duke
picked that game yet.
Plays South Carolina.
You just said you knew who was winning it all.
Mind your business. That's all. Mind your business.
You ain't picking Duke to win.
They got it. They did get a raw deal with that bracket. North Carolina and South Carolina.
Yeah.
That's foul. They could have put them in the same bracket as UCLA.
Could have.
Yeah, that's foul. But, you know, hey, those book ones on the way? Oh, well, I got to look at my bracket then. If the
wow.
book was,
trying to bribe
hey, man,
with his selection.
Coach K, I can be bought. I can be bought. And it's not even going to cost you that. Just put them in the box.
She has 50 of them she's never worn. Man, I got so many shoes I don't know what to do with.
Right after D'Lo said his favorite team's colors.
Been the same size for 20 years, but it's cool. Oh, no, they're 10s now. Yeah, right. Just send it anyways.
So, yeah, man, both bracket challenges are up, so you guys can hop in there. Just hop for the love of the game. For the love of the game.
Unless you're in Trista's pool.
Well, that is not the love of the game. I'm also, you getting in the Odyssey joint?
Where's that at?
I filled out my bracket in there yesterday.
I don't want to do any
on,
of
we
this.
We got to be a part of stuff.
Why?
It's culture and
I
stuff.
I am a part of stuff. I don't need to be in a bracket challenge to show that, like, I'm a culture guy.
That's how I'm doing it.
Well, that's because you don't talk to anybody.
I say hi and bye when I walk past people.
I got to fill out my bracket, but I'm definitely in that one. I'm in my man Jay Gaden's bracket as well. I got about four of them going down, man.
I got four.
Well, it's
winning.
No big. It's no big
not.
Deal. For you to, it's no big deal for you. You could throw $50 in all these and
what?
Like,
what
man,
you
I saw TK's. I was like, oh,
yeah, that was.
Man, I want to support.
When was payday?
$50.
Payday.
Like, man, TK, man. My pool can't pass inspection until I get the fence that blew down 3 days ago fixed.
Oh, no. Fence blew down?
Yes. The last storm we just had. I got home, and my mom goes,
damn.
hey, and kind of nods to the backyard, and I look, and I'm like, oh, God damn it.
Damn.
So I'm like, all right, it's another expense. It'll get dealt with. But I text the guys. I text the guys today. I was like, "Hey, do we have any work scheduled?" They're like, "Man, we got to get the pool fixed. You can't pass. I mean, the fence fixed. You can't pass because there's one thing left to do: tile and water. That's it. Tile and water. They happen over a 2-day period.
Yeah.
So you have to pass this pre-inspection before they could put the tile and the water in. Well, now we can't pass the inspection because
the
fence went down and it's considered a barrier. Despite the fact it's a fence to like a fire lane, which I had never heard of or seen before. It's not even a fence to my neighbor. It's a fence to an empty space.
Hey.
What?
A couple weeks ago, Damien dropped it. Yeah, we're first and goal with the pool. It's fourth down right now.
Oh, no. Oh. Come on, man.
Oh. We're going to get over that line.
I don't know, man.
We're going to hand it to the fullback.
Oh, we're going to get over that line. I'm not going to have a penny to my name, but we're going to get over that line.
We're going
to
get you there, though. We're going to get you there. Come on, baby. We got to lay out in the sun. You know, we got to have some nice little drinks, you know, laid out in one of the cabanas. We got to have that this summer, so we're going to get there.
You know what? When the pool's fixed, I'll just take the day off and just enjoy it that day.
Yeah.
Me and Kenny will handle it. We'll talk conspiracies now. Don't worry.
Some people go on a vacation. He brings the vacation spot to him.
Exactly. You earned this.
Well, one, you're goddamn right I did.
Come
but...
on, Collins. Don't do that. Come on, man. For the 20.
I mean, Collins is right.
What is this, a Raider game?
It absolutely is. We was fourth and goal, ready to punch it in and holding.
False start.
Yep. Just move it back.
Intentional it grounding, back. Loss of down, and yards.
Awful. This is what everyone warns you about when you do this. Like, oh man, it could get bad.
But it's like buying a house, though. Like it's crazy going through it, but it's a
great
get
analogy.
There,
yeah,
and it's great once you get there.
Buying a house is an insanely stressful experience.
Yeah. Oh man, now more caveats. Fourth and goal, QB is Mitch.
Oh no.
Fourth and goal, and the QB is Mitch.
Oh no. That's tough.
Hey, real question. Fourth and goal.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you want the quarterback to be? Fourth and goal on the 15.
Josh Allen.
I was going to say Lamar.
Josh Allen always somehow gets the football into the end zone somewhere.
Does he?
Yes, Josh Allen somehow. I don't want to cuss, but he makes some out of nothing. And he'll take off on that fourth and 15. He'll take off on some little run where he's jogging to the end zone, and for some reason, no one's going to tackle him.
I'm not against that because Josh Allen's the truth. But I've seen Lamar on them fourth and goals figure out.
He said fourth and goal or fourth and 15?
Fourth and goal.
Well, he said fourth and goal from the 15.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
It's my pool scenario. We just keep racking up
penalties. Yeah, we'll stick with Josh Allen. Josh Allen's going to find Dalton Kincaid in like the back of the end zone in the corner, like after running around for 10 seconds.
Was the Ravens touchdown before the missed 2-point, was that fourth down? I think it was fourth down.
Might have been.
He has that one. He has the one in Kansas City that the guy's heel or toe was on the back of the end zone.
I think I'll go... I was thinking Lamar, too. All right, so Patrick Mahomes sucks now?
No. No.
Oh, okay. Because you said Lamar. You said Josh Allen. Well, I guess I'll take
Pat
Patrick
wasn't MVP
Mahomes.
This year.
No. Yeah, it's true. Josh was.
It's true. He deserved it, too. He deserved it. What do you think about tonight?
I felt better 20 minutes ago.
No.
Make sure you get tomorrow.
Against Chicago.
Yeah, make sure you get tomorrow because I don't know about tonight.
And like you said, though, I know Zach. I hope everything's okay. You know what I'm saying? Because personal reasons. He's got, you know, a game against Chicago tomorrow, which I know he wants to play in. He might have circled on his calendar. But, you know, if it's serious to keep him out tonight, I'm wondering what tomorrow's looking like. So just hope everything's all right with him. As far as the basketball team, get grimy.
Yeah, you're going to.
And I half jokingly talking about, like, oh, okay, Keon better win for all the Keon truthers. And they might. They just might because Keon is good. And Keon, when I talk about getting grimy, he's the type of guy that could help spearhead that. You know, he'll lock up on the defensive end. He'll do the little things on the offensive end. He can hit a knockdown three-pointer. So, yeah, man, if you can get him and then maybe you've got hopefully you got Jake LaRavia there and, you know, Devin Carter, maybe more opportunity and what he could provide. Is I think for them to win tonight, it's going to have to be a very physical matchup between JV, Keon, Ravia, Devin Carter, those guys. It's gonna get physical tonight, and they've got to be ready for that. And you're talking about
a
Cavs team who don't want to lose. You know, they don't want to lose their third straight, so they're gonna be somewhat desperate or getting physical. I see tonight being a physical game tonight.
Does that benefit Sacramento?
It might be. I think they're tough. I think Sacramento's a tough team. I think they can stand up to teams that they get physical. It seems once a game, my boy, the nasty boy, Jonas Valanciunas.
Nope. We didn't agree to that.
The nasty boy put it on the shirt, Dave Garcia. But once a game, Valanciunas gets tangled up with somebody and like shoves somebody. Like their arms get tangled up and he's, hey, get off of me. So we'll probably see that 3 times tonight.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Me or does it once a game that happens? It's like, oh my gosh, he's going to push this guy. That's my boy, though.
Let those threes fly tonight, too, I think. If you're not having a chance, let them fly.
You're going to need them to drop.
I'm with that.
Yeah, you're going to need them to drop.
Yeah.
All right. It is the Kings. It is the Cavs. It is tonight at the Golden 1 Center. No Domantas Sabonis for Sacramento. No Zach LaVine for Sacramento. Zach LaVine, a late scratch. He'll miss today's game due to personal reasons. And, yeah, King's going to have to gut one out. Darius Garland won't be playing for Cleveland. Cleveland played last night. Got roughed up by the Clippers. So we talk about the Kings a lot on the second night of a back-to-back. This, for the Kings, is the first night of a back-to-back. Second night for Cleveland. They got Chicago tomorrow. Chicago is in Phoenix tonight. So it's not perfect, but it's an even playing field. All right, I guess go Kings. I'm with you guys though. I can't say I felt great headed into this game, but I did feel a lot worse when Zach LaVine was ruled out. Either way, we will be back here to talk about it tomorrow, beginning at 10 a.m. With the insiders here on Sacramento Sports Leader. We've got college basketball coming up next here on ESPN 1320.
Vamos Kings, light the beam.
Hi, everybody. I'm Maury Povich. On my podcast, On Par with Maury Povich, I'm going to sit down with the icons, the stars, and the faces at the very center of today's big cultural moments. With everyone from comedians Josh Johnson, Dan Soder, Leanne Morgan, to newsmakers Don Lemon, Joy Reid, Aaron Parnas, and so many more. So join me for new episodes every week because nothing is off limits. Great conversations. They're always on par. Follow and listen to On Par with Maury Povich wherever you get your podcasts.